Yes! Welcome to another, yet another edition of Kayak Fishing Radio. I am the clipboard toting, pen scratching, Charlie Batch of Kayak Fishing Radio, filling in for the always illustrious Chip Gibson. I am Rob, a bad backcast at DeBoer. And for all those that hate the sound of my voice, hang up now. And wait, Mark, where are you going? No, just kidding around. Chip is in somewhere in Florida visiting some in-laws, and is kind of victim to some shoddy internet service, so he's not doing the show tonight. I kind of ended up speaking for him and posting up the show before I knew that he wasn't going to do it. So I decided, to kind of do the show for him so we didn't have to go without a show. So so you're stuck with me. here I am, the clipboard toting, Charlie Batch, the Mike Tomczak of kayak fishers. So, let's see who we got here. We got Mark, landing crew. How you doing, man? You're in Virginia, right?
Doing good. Yes, I am.
Excellent. What do you got planned for the coming year fishing wise?
Coming year is going to be filled with traveling, getting out and perfecting techniques to catch bass, and in particular the techniques that are coming out now to catch big bass, and also a lot of bass in the same sense. You're looking at shaky heads, using a shaky head with different baits. A lot of guys are trying different things instead of just the regular worm. You've got drop shots. You've got all these things that are coming around now that these guys are using. Big swim baits, which, California and a lot of places are using a lot. But the mainstream guy who just gets out, once every few weekends here and there, never gets the opportunity to really delve into it. And, what I'm looking to do is really delve into them all, figure them out, become efficient and more along the lines of proficient in using them so I can teach others, doing seminars and things like that too.
Excellent. Now, you're talking about like largemouth and smallmouth and things of that nature, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Have you ever fished down here in Florida?
No, it's one of my bucket lists.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of bass down here, largemouth, no smallmouth, but definitely largemouth. And up around the St. John's River basin around there, they actually have stripers in there too. But I've never actually caught one. But this is, down in Florida, what we have down here now, we have some big lakes and this and that and the next thing, but those fish are pretty much highly pressured, And when I used to bass fish, one of my favorite things to do was to hit up golf course ponds and apartment complex ponds. And a lot of those fish have never seen a bait or, like a lure ever, So you're going out there and you're finding these great waterways, you can get on these golf courses, and what they do is they stock these ponds with tilapia, and to keep the tilapia, for weed control, and to keep the tilapia under control, they stock largemouth bass in there. So, it's great. You can go in there with a, 7.5-inch or 6.5-inch, culprit plastic worm and just wreak havoc on these things, man. It's definitely a lot of fun.
That's one of my favorite things about kayak fishing is I always drive around with my kayak on the truck and a few rods in the truck also. And I'll be going, I'll see a heron fly over top of the highway. And I go, look at my Garmin GPS, pull it up, and be like, ooh, there's a blue dot right there. And I get off the highway, and I'll start searching. Where can I find it?
And then I find it, and I'm like, ooh, okay, now where can I park?
Yeah, exactly.
I've had it a couple times where I'll be fishing, and I hear a whistle, and I look over, and it's a cop sitting there going, hey, you got two choices. Either you get out of the water and move your truck, or I move it for you. And it's like, oh, okay,
ooh.
You know, hang on. Pull it on the side, drive the truck around, like, where can I park?
Yeah, it, you know, it seems like all the property, you know, around here is owned. So, you know, you either have to have permission or you or, you know, you can get snagged for trespassing, you know, a lot of, you know, with a lot of the freshwater places around here. But yeah,
yeah,
you know, golf courses, apartment complex ponds, and, you know, it's not uncommon to get a 5 or an 8 pound bass, you know, and easy too, in my opinion, easy, you know, where you're one of my favorite tactics for bass is, you know, one of those, it's a, like a June bug colored culprit worm, and you rig it weedless with no weight, nothing. You just, a weedless worm hook, and you just finesse it. You toss it, and you just reel it in enough to get that tail moving. And, you know, if you're around lily pads or structure or anything like that, that thing will get blasted. Got another caller here. Hold on 1 second. Hey, area code 321. How you doing?
I'm flipping my fins, baby.
Oh man, it's guess who it is? It's
the mermaid.
That's right. The mermaid makes an appearance here at the new year. We got it's just me, you, and landing crew Mark Wheeler. So, you know, I'm just kind of filling in for Chip. I don't know if you heard any of the rest of the show or not. But Chip's, you know, has shoddy internet service. So I kind of didn't know that he wasn't doing a show tonight. So I kind of got it all set, got it all rolling, only to find out, hey, we don't have a show. So I hope you're okay with that.
No, I'm leaving.
Thanks.
No, come on.
So Mark, tell me, now, do you do any saltwater stuff up there?
Oh, yeah. If you look at a map of Virginia, you're going to see where the bay comes down and empties out in the Atlantic Ocean and the
right.
Bay Bridge, Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. I live right next to the Bay Bridge Tunnel. So I've got two main bodies of water with a bunch of tributaries and a bunch of great structure within 20 minutes of my house. So I've actually had it where in the morning I'll fish for bass. In the afternoon, for you know, the tides are right, I'll book it over and jump in the, you know, one of our little back bays and catch reds and trout and flounder and stripers and blues.
Awesome. Now,
yeah.
You know, one thing that that I found out this week when I was doing my wintertime prey article there on the blog, I was doing some research on blue crabs because, you know, we get a lot of blue crabs around here, so I just wanted to kind of check into their spawning and see when some of the best times of the year, you know, to find juvenile blue crabs. And, you know, in my research, I found that there was you know, that, you know, Chesapeake Bay and you know, Baltimore and all these areas are, you know, renowned for crab cakes and blue crabs and stuff, right? But
it's big business
there,
up here.
It's what?
Very, very big business up here.
I know, but to find out that there's less blue crabs up there than there are down here, I was really amazed to find that out. You know, I always thought of, you know, that was a, you know, the blue crab capital of the world or something, you know?
Well, you guys have a bigger industry of other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Up here, it's, you know, guys crab because there's, you know, a bunch of crab houses that, you know, you get the canned crab, the lump and jumbo lump and backfin, and that's all they do is they catch for that. And then, you know, they might sell one or two bushels here and there for people to snack on. But it's very, very big business. Because you guys down there, you guys have the snapper and the shrimp and everything else. So,
yeah.
Plus,
well,
our crabs are larger in size, from what I
know
understand.
I know that she doesn't have crabs, but I know that that she probably uses them for bait. What do you say, Dee?
Crabs? Who's got crabs?
Oh man! Now tell me, do you ever set out any crab traps and you know, maybe snag some juveniles for bait there, Dee?
Yeah, I don't use any crab traps. If I see one swimming by that's a really good size, I'll snatch them up with the net and definitely change up hooks and try to cast that out. But I haven't had too much luck other than landing a fish that way. Ironically, on the flats like that, you can hook them up and you're supposed to be able to toss them out and land a nice big redfish over by the inlet. But not the only way I've actually landed some really awesome fish is being on a boat drifting Sebastian Inlet when the crabs are floating in on the grasses. I don't know if anybody's ever done any of that kind of fishing.
Oh, yeah.
All the time
tons and tons of the crabs, yeah. They're floating on the grasses or under the grasses, and you snatch them up. And, I mean, you get, you know, 20 of those guys, throw them in your bait tank and or your
yeah.
live bait well.
They come in
yeah.
on the drift.
And
they
then
come
you
in
go
on,
for the bull reds, yeah. But
they
that's
come in
the
on
only
the,
way. That.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that is the only way I've caught them at Sebastian Inlet. Now, I have had crushed blue crabs and fished Hallover Canal in Mosquito Lagoon area, and the black drum just sucked that up like it's candy. It's great.
Yeah. We'd get the drift algae coming in around Clearwater Pass and Sand Key here, and what we do is, you know, sometimes you can, like, dip net them or scoop them, and you know, it's most of the time it's in the summer, and these are like 3 and 4 inch size, you know, swimming crabs. You know, they call them pass crabs. I forget exactly what they are, but they call them pass crabs. And those things, man, tarpon will stop in their tracks to go to chase one of those things down, man. So that's like a top notch tarpon lure in the summertime, or bait. I don't usually use bait though. What were you going to say, Mark?
Here's the funny thing about up here in Virginia. The eastern shore of Virginia has the northernmost residential tarpon stock.
Oh, really? They stay there even at that cold? No kidding.
Oh, they go out to the deeper water during the wintertime, and then they come back in. I've been out in the eastern shore fishing for bull reds. And what we do with the crabs is you split them in half and you use like a 10 or 11 knot circle hook. So you're going for big fish and they've got a big enough maw to suck
right.
in. Split them in half, not the back fin, but the second one for the one just above that. You put the hook through there, and then the hook point comes out in the where the belly would be, and then you toss it out. So that way when they eat it, they crunch that crab, and then you just let them run. Circle hook does the rest.
Right.
But I've had it a couple of times where I float whole live blue crabs for a cobia because they're around the same area too. And next thing I know,
right.
I have this bright silver flash. I mean, these things are absolutely massive. I mean, I've caught, you know, I've seen caught, you know, 100-pound tarpon up here, and these are much bigger than that. Suck it in, take off like a banshee, and I can't get the hook set on them. but
no, I know for a fact that those are the cobias, man. Those things will put up a fight like you would not believe. I mean,
I love cobia fishing.
I know, man, and if you're not ready for those things, I mean, those things will put a beating on you.
Oh yeah. I've had them tear up my the kayak pretty bad a couple of times when I thought I thumped them good enough after I gassed them to come
yeah.
back alive. And next thing you know, I've got the crazy brown clown going schizo in my lap.
Oh,
not
man.
Not very fun.
Yeah. So, Dee, what do you got? Go ahead, Mark.
I've actually been to the kayak, tried to hit them a couple of times.
Oh, man. Yeah, those things are, you know, you get a big enough one, and they just don't stop, you know. If you got to let them wear itself out for a while. And if and even then, you know, you're right. You get them in the boat, and they're, like, flipping around all over the place. But,
if you're catching release or cobia, you want the small ones because the big ones, you can't get them close enough to cut the line or pull the hook safely. And you wear them out too much, and they just end up dying on you, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, Dee, what do you got planned for the new or for next year? You know, fishing wise, anything in particular? You going anywhere? Yeah.
You mean for the new year, like this weekend?
No, like for 2011.
Or just going places.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no, I don't go anywhere. I hate people. You know that. I'd rather be with the fish.
Well, absolutely, no. But, you know, I mean...
I don't have any plans. I'm supposed to go visit my son in D.C. He's just asking me to go out that way, and I haven't done that. And then the other one's asking me to go up to Wisconsin, which means I'd have to go freshwater fishing again, which I've been dying to do because it's been such a long time since I've done that. So I don't know. I got two trips that are requested of me from that. So maybe I'll make my rounds and see some people. And it would be a driving thing, which would be great because then I can stop and see who's up north, you know.
And you could take your yak with you, too.
That's the point, yeah. I would take a couple of them with me, yeah.
There you go.
Anybody know a trailer? I need to get a trailer. that would be the way to do it, right? You throw your kayaks on the trailer, you put any extra gear on the trailer, and you have an empty truck while you're driving up north, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know some trailer parks, but I don't know any trailers. Any trailers at the moment, but absolutely, man, that's a great idea, and you could also hit stuff on the way as you're driving, if you kind of look on the map and, hey, I always wanted to fish there or something like that.
Well, there is one spot up in Tennessee just before you get up in the mountains, going from south to north, and I don't know if many people know it, but it comes up around a curve, and there's this big-ass lake over there, and there's always people fishing on this giant lake. And I've been dying to give that a try, and I haven't been able to lately because of not even having the kayaks with me. It's always been a regular trip, you know, like a car trip.
Absolutely.
So that would be fun.
Well, you know, Dee, you live, within a couple of hours of the Keys, man, and you've never been there fishing. I'm telling you.
I know.
If you get down there and you go camping at Long Key and you just go out there on that flat right out of the tent, right into the kayak, on an incoming tide, you'll find bonefish. And you don't need a fancy.
I think someone named Rob needs to take me out that way.
Oh, man. That's like one of my favorite places to go in the world.
I might have to make the long trip down there.
Believe it or not, and people don't, if
who's
you
that?
Talk to, that's Mark. Landing
hey,
crew.
Yeah. Yeah, come on down. We'll make another special trip,
I got somebody else on the line here. Hold on one second. Hey, area code 678. Who are you?
Yay. This is Dean.
Hey, how are you, Dino?
Hey, bud.
Good that you called. It doesn't tell me people's names on here, so I'm kind of winging it here. I don't have a call screener or anything like that. So,
right.
I'm just kind of winging it, and it just has a phone number there,
Right. Yeah.
So, please, everybody, forgive me for calling you by your area code. I usually have a little bit more manners than that, but, in this case, I don't have a call screener. So what's happening?
Not much, man.
Yeah?
Just been working a whole lot, ready to go do some fishing. Just, it's hard to get out when you work a lot.
Well, is the weather changed up there for you or what?
It's starting to finally warm up after, after having the first white Christmas we've had since the 1800s here in Atlanta.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember in the, I think it was 88, we had snow down here in Florida.
Right.
But I don't know if you guys got any that time or not. But that's pretty, you know, it's unusual for that area. And I did see some pictures. I forget where I saw maybe it was on the news or something like that, and they were showing Atlanta, and they didn't have the roads cleared or anything like that, and they had a couple of inches on the ground, you know?
Yeah, you get a couple inches here, and people go crazy. They don't know how to act.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, do you guys even have snow plows and stuff there?
Very few. Very few.
I would imagine.
A whole lot. Yeah.
Put a snowplow on the front of the garbage truck and go.
There you go.
So, definitely. You know, the Keys, that long Key State Park, when people will tell you, hey, man, you know, this is a, you know, you got to have a guide to go down there and catch bonefish. And I'm not going to, you know, dispute any of that. I mean, if you don't know what you're doing down there, you can get
I've
skunked.
I've never caught a bonefish.
But it's what I'm saying is that it's they're even though they're very educated, okay, and they're very, very, very educated, okay, as far as being sensitive, you know, they've all been caught down there at one time or another, and so they're very, you know, very sensitive. You have to really, really be quiet and really be careful, and they're really hard to see until you figure out, like, train your eye on how to spot them and what to look for. You'll never see them, and especially if it's windy, man, forget it. But you know, you can use an idiot rig with a shrimp and still catch a bonefish. You know, believe it or not, those things will pound and tear apart a 4-inch crab, man. You know, you've seen bonefish; they got small mouths and everything. They usually, you know, go with the small shrimp, small crabs and stuff like that. But they will. They are known to dismantle a 4-inch crab and eat it.
Are they toothy?
No, not at all. No.
They're like drum.
Their mouth is very low swung, almost kind of like a carp in a sense, and it's very small. So you know, they, but there's all, man, I tell you what, once you get on bonefish, you'll be like, man, it's just, you know, it's just something to behold. But it's not that hard. And that, you know, as far as, it is hard, but it's not as hard as some people would make it out to be. I don't personally think that you need to have a guide. That's just my opinion, though. I'm kind of, and don't take this the wrong way, I'm kind of anti-guide. In that sense, but I'm more of a do-it-yourself guy, you know. So, but the, you know, all you do is you camp at Long Key, and the flat right off of Long Key is like one of the best bonefish flats in Florida. Yeah, I know. Sorry, it was for my anti-guide comment.
Well, don't most people fly fish for bonefish?
You can. I know I do. I love fly fishing for bonefish, but you know, it's they're not, you know, you can go after them with shrimp or you know, even small, you know, DOA shrimp or something, you know, any kind of small jig or something like that. It's you just got to really, man, you got to sneak up on those things in the Keys. Now, if you go over to the Bahamas, there's like zillions of bonefish over there, man. It's like you can walk in the water and you're like walking on top of them, you know, and they're not as educated. But the ones in the Keys, they're a lot larger and they've been around a lot longer. So you definitely got to be careful with those. So, so Dino, what do you got planned for 2011, man? Where are you going fishing?
We got a trip planned. Let's see, we're talking about going to the Everglades.
Awesome.
Actually, I'm in two different clubs. I'm in GKF and I'm in another saltwater, kind of a private little deal we got going on. But we're talking about going down to southwest portion of the Flamingo and the Everglades National Park and do a little snook fishing, maybe, you know, fish the mangroves and all that.
Yeah, that's an awesome place, man. Now, are you going with people from the area,
We actually know a few guys that live down in South Florida that fish in our saltwater club, and then with the GKF club, we've got a good bit going on with it. We got a trip planned to do the Okefenokee Swamp for 2011.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to fish it. We've got some rivers. We've just, with GKF, we've got a bunch going on. Plus, with our foundation with GKF, we're doing some Special Olympics events, taking the Warrior Transition Battalion, taking them fishing. Just, we got a major calendar this year going on, so...
That's awesome. Is that through Heroes on the Water?
Actually, it's a little bit different organization than the Heroes. This is the Warrior Transition Battalion out of Fort Benning that we use them a good bit, you know. But Michael Gallen with Southeast Adventures in Brunswick has offered us his lodge, which they own a lodge on the Satilla River. And they're going to let us use his lodge to take the soldiers out fishing and do that with the club. So it should be a good time.
That's all. That does sound like a good time, man. Anytime
right.
You can get free use of a lodge on a river, it sounds like a good time to me.
Right. Now, if you'll notice on the chat room there, Zach and David's posting up some links there to stuff we got going on.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I'm like running around with a chicken with its head cut off here because the, you know, this is a totally different setup than the talk show one. You know, you could do that all on one screen.
It is a little different.
This one, it's, you know, you have a chat room on one screen and you got, you know, the switchboard on the other, and you can't tell if,
right.
You know, anybody's calling in or what exactly the...
Yeah.
What exactly is going on? So, you know, sometimes I lose track of the chat room, and I'm not doing that on purpose. I'm not ignoring people or anything else over there. It's just I forget to go over there, you know.
Yes. And then here in 2 weeks, we got 4 days, 5 days at the Atlanta Boat Show. Georgia Kite Fishing is going to set up a booth at the boat show and do some kite fishing seminars and try to get some more people into the sport.
Oh, absolutely. You know, people don't realize that kayak fishing is probably the largest growing sport in fishing. You know, people are buying kayaks more, you know, nowadays than any other watercraft in fishing. Also, you know, Miss Batcast's dad just picked up a kayak the other day, and he's an old time fisherman, and he's ready to get out on the water, man. So we're excited to get him out there. You know, he's in Fort Myers, so hopefully we'll get down there and do some fishing, maybe around Matt Lachey or somewhere around that area. So have you ever been down there?
Right.
Man, that place, that's like fishing heaven down there.
Right. We fish. Saltwater fish to the coast of Georgia. We do some Florida fishing, you know. I have been as far as coast of North Carolina and done some sheephead fishing, but most of our fishing is on the coast of Georgia, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I got to say, we do fairly well. I mean, we catch some nice bull redfish, some nice big sheephead, black drum, blues, trout, flounder, you know. I mean, you know, it's great fishing.
Well, you just got to know where to go, you know. And I'm sure that it's probably different than it is here. You know, not only your water, but you know the conditions and things to look for and things of that nature. Do you? Let me ask you now. Where do you guys get the kayaks and stuff? If you're going to go out and take people out, you know, on the water. You know, for instance, the soldiers and everything. Where do you get your kayaks from?
Well, if we're going to do it, it just depends on where we're at and what we're doing. If it's going to be south, say, the Brunswick area, the Jekyll Island area, Michael Gallen of Southeast Adventures, he'll come in. He's got a rental fleet. He'll loan us some of his boats, and also the members of our club. You know, a lot of them, they'll step in and bring their boats and the extra boats that they have.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's great. Yeah. I didn't know. You know, a lot of people have, you know, more than one kayak. You know, if they take somebody with them or something like that. You
right.
know, I didn't know if you guys had a rental fleet, you know, coming in or what. But that's great,
right.
man.
But most of it's just our volunteers. You know, the members of the board and the volunteers and the board. You know, they bring their boats out, and man, it's amazing the turnout we can get. It's awesome.
That's excellent. Now last time. You were posting some links on some pictures on of you catching these monster sheep's head. Now, did you catch those in Georgia?
They was caught in Georgia, actually at Brunswick, Georgia.
Wow, no kidding, man. Those things. Dee, did you see those pictures last time?
I did.
Man, those were some of the biggest sheep's head I've ever seen. you know, either in real life or in pictures or whatever.
Yeah,
and
they're fun to catch, man. We love to catch them.
Now, do you keep them? You know, maybe take one home for dinner or something like that.
Occasionally, believe it or not, we throw back more than what we keep.
Yeah,
we sure do.
Well, man, those sheep's head sure are good table fare, man.
Oh yeah, excellent.
I'm not one for keeping fish too much, but those things are definitely good. Once in a while.
Yeah, it's hard to pull back a good sheep head.
Yeah.
It is hard to do that. I agree with you.
Well, let me tell you, nowadays, you know, around these parts, this time of year, it's the sheep's head invasion, man. And I was out off of Clearwater Beach the other day on this rocky jetty, and it was just sheep's head all over the place. And, of course, you know, I didn't have a fishing pole with me. And, you know, it was it always figures, you know, they do that to taunt you, I think, you know.
Oh yeah, they're a challenge.
Oh, definitely. Now, Mark, do you guys get sheep's head up there? I imagine you do up in Virginia.
Oh yeah, we've got big sheepies, we've got tautogs, blackfish, however you want to call it.
Tautogs is awesome.
Triggerfish.
No, I think I saw one of those on Rob Choi's blog. What did you call it? A tog-tog?
Yeah, tog-tog. A blackfish.
Yeah.
They've got these big, gnarly lips on them, and they've got
they got a mouth kind of like a sheep head in a way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they related?
They sit there and they crunch on fiddlers and shrimp and everything else, and you sit there, you know, 5 minutes from my house is the Bay Bridge Tunnel, 10 minutes paddling. 10 minutes paddling out, and you're, you know, tearing them up. Now, you get your limit if you know where to go and how to fish for them. And the key with all of them is you drop it down the bottom to where they're at, give it two cranks, and set the hook because they've already got it.
Yeah. So are they the same? Are they the like bait robbers? I like to call sheepies bait robbers, you know, because if you're not hooked up just right for those things, rigged up just right for them, man, they'll just kill you all day long.
Yeah, if you think that they've already had it, it's already too late. It's gone.
Yep.
Another thing that we have out here, I don't know if you guys have it down there, are spade fish.
Yes.
Big business out here.
Yep.
We do, but I don't catch them so much. Probably the most that I've seen them in these parts was last winter when I was counting dead snook floating in Dunedin Marina there. There was the other thing that was there besides mullet were a lot of spade fish. And, you know, they're not that big. I don't know if they're bigger up there or more prominent or something, but I did see quite a few of them in the Dunedin Marina there, belly up.
Yeah, they're about a good size one's about 4 to 5 pounds, but we get them up to 15 pounds up here.
Oh, man, no
way.
That's a big spade fish.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kaya Kevin, if you have one little, you know, plug, if you haven't seen the Kaya Kit, his new video doing the tour, you've got to buy it. It is awesome. Some of the stuff he goes through on that tour, and how long it took him. It's just really cool. But he goes out and he'll catch his limit of spades, and then and this is all at the Baybridge Tunnel, and he'll catch his limit of spades, come in a little closer, and start catching all, you know, get his limit of tog and triggers and everything else, and then he'll, you know, push away from the bridge and start catching cobia. You know, and that's usually a good day for him if he can do all that and then run in and catch some red.
That's
the
awesome.
Guy's insane in that sense. But we've done that a couple times where, you know, we go from one side of the bay to the other and catching everything that we can.
Hey, let me jump over to D real quick. Hold on 1 second. Hey, D, Happy New Year to you, man. And,
Happy New Year to you and everyone.
Good luck on your charter tomorrow. You know, you got a plan?
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
What's the plan without the details? I'm not asking you for your spot.
I'm taking out a grandpa and his granddaughter tomorrow, and she's like 6 or 7. I can't remember how old, but that age, you know, the young ones. And so she has previously landed an oversized slot red last year, so she's got the fish itch like nobody's business, and they come down every year at this time. Yeah. this year they want to go for trout, which ironically is the best time of year to go for trout down here. And for the last 2 days in a row, I hope I didn't fish them all out, but I swear I pulled in 20 trout yesterday and today, all above 20 inches. And I haven't had a chance to update any photos, but I landed a real nice 26-incher yesterday, which was, you know how you become a magnet? Everybody sees you catching fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was, 2 days in a row of that. I was not too thrilled, but what can you do, right?
Absolutely. Well, anyway, Happy New Year.
Yeah, so that's it.
And thanks for coming down. And I'm telling you, you know, in February, even though I'm not going to be able to make the Jacksonville trip, me and Miss Backcast might shoot over for the weekend around that same time.
Absolutely. My God, I would love to take you guys out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'll get with you on the details.
Yeah, and you know, I'm anybody that wants to come down, you know, there's certain people that you really love to enjoy to fish with and other people you just don't want to deal with. Anybody that wants to come on down from our chat rooms and from Yak Angler, I'd love to take everybody out and let's just all have a great time, you know. Let's go.
Same with me, you know. If you ever get a hankering to come over to the West Coast and, you know, do some night fishing or something in the summertime, you know, give me a holler because that's my thing. You know, that's when I'm at my best is when I'm night fishing for docks. You know, lighted docks, summertime. You know, it's a good time for me.
Yeah.
So you know,
I'm really hoping to get the photo of that little girl holding that big ass fish. You know, I love that kind of photo with her smile wider than the fucking fish's mouth. You know.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
We'll go ahead and, we'll hide the spear gun in the picture, too.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just kidding.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, absolutely, and thanks for calling in.
Happy New Year.
All right, talk to you. Bye.
Bye. Oh, yeah, man. That's it's a sweet time of year to go out fishing right now. It's, wintertime. Even though I hate it, every bone in my body goes, it's too cold. So, I don't fish a lot in the wintertime. I do more research and writing than anything in the wintertime. You know, I might go once or twice a month in the wintertime as opposed to in the summertime, I'm going like 3 times a week, you know, when the water, you know, when it's not flipping freezing. So, we got another caller here. Who's area code 678? You're on the air. Hello. Area area code 678. Please state your name.
That ain't me again, is it?
I don't know.
I'm 678.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Then we got another area code 321. That's not D.
That would be me.
Who
That's
is me?
Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
What's going on?
Oh, nothing, man. Just filling in for Chip. I'm the...
You're doing a heck of a job.
I'm doing the Charlie Batch of Kayak Fishing Radio. Why do I keep going back to Charlie Batch? Is he just like the only like crappy backup quarterback that I can think of that actually wins games? Sorry, nothing against Charlie Batch. I don't know why that name sticks with me as backup quarterbacks. I mean, can you name a backup quarterback for your team?
No.
All right. Yeah, me either. I can't even tell you the backup quarterback's name for the Buccaneers this year because I don't know. So what's going on, Chuck?
Not a lot, man. Just enjoying this warmer weather that we've had the last 2 days. And getting excited about doing some fishing first thing in next week.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, weather around here is supposed to be in the 70s for the next week during the day, high 70s. It's not like
yeah, we had 70, I think we reached 74 today or 75 today. And, you know, it's a good thing, man. We're starting to lose a lot of fish over here. And I think it's going to give the water a chance to kind of warm up just a bit, maybe stop the mayhem. So
now, let me ask you this. Indian River over there and Mosquito Lagoon, what kind of water temperatures are you looking at over there, like this time of year?
It was 53 degrees in the lagoon the other day.
Ack! It's the same thing here in the bay and in the Gulf.
Yeah, but the difference is the lagoon, the average depth of the Mosquito Lagoon is about a foot and a half.
Yeah.
So, you know, those fish... And guys who trout fish, and Dee, unfortunately, she got off the phone, but they can all attest for this. Trout are one of those species that like the shallow water when it gets cold. Unfortunately, like in the afternoon, but during the daytime, I mean, during the morning, I should say, they tend to hang out in deeper water, you know, or first thing in the morning, they tend to come out of the deeper water trying to get up into the shallows to warm up. Because, you know, at night, the shallow water is the first one to get cold. So
yeah.
It's they're kind of ass backwards in the Mosquito Lagoon because they don't have any deep water to go to. So a giant trout searching for deep water to go to. I mean, and you know, there's none to be had for the most part. So they freeze basically. You know, I was fly fishing in a spot the other day, and I stumbled upon a 24-inch dead trout, 28-inch dead trout, and a 29 and like a quarter-inch dead trout.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, it, like, breaks your heart, man, because, listen, if I caught a 29.5-inch trout or a quarter-inch trout on a fly, I'd retire my fly rod.
Yeah, well, you know, you can always hook it up to the end of, you know, hook the fly up to it and hold it up, you know.
Yeah, and pretend he's still breathing. Yeah, these guys,
yeah.
Unfortunately, were a little too far gone for that to be halfway believable, but... You know, the funny thing is you guys are talking about spade fish and sheephead. I've got buddies of mine that are commercial fishermen here in the area, and large sheephead are not too uncommon here as well, especially where I work out in Port Canaveral. We've got 40-foot, 50-foot of water out there, so those big sheephead can kind of move in and kind of make residency out there. We go out there sometimes, me and the guy who's a commercial dude, and we'll catch 30 or 40 of them in a day, hook and line, and every one of them will be over 5 pounds. So, you know, there's some tricks that we use to catch them. A lot of guys swear by fiddler crabs and that kind of thing. But, I mean, honestly, frozen shrimp peeled on a small piece of shrimp on a tiny little hook placed in the right spot will do the trick every time.
Yeah, you know, for people that don't use bait, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm a little bit biased here to the lures, but the sheep's head will actually eat the gulp shrimp and the gulp crabs as well. If you take a gulp shrimp and you cut it in half, same thing as using a piece of shrimp, a frozen shrimp or a dead shrimp, whatever. They'll do it, man. It's weird.
Yeah, I've caught pretty much everything that swims in Port Canaveral, including mangrove snappers, on the small 1-inch, or I think they're 1-inch, or maybe even a 2-inch gulp shrimp. They used to make them. I don't know if they still do or not. We don't have any in my shop at the moment, but they make a smaller one than that 3, and I can't remember if it's a 2-inch or if it's a 1-inch. But that just basically float line back behind the boat in that deep water, man, you'll draw a lot of attention from a lot of different critters, stuff you would never imagine when you get artificial and eat those things.
Yeah. Now, you know, this time of year in this area, in my area around, you know, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, you know, you got to downsize your baits this time of year. Okay. But what something that people don't realize in the summertime is there's times when you also have to do the same thing. You know, and it's not a bad thing to go ahead and use some, you know, bonefish flies or use some, you know, some 2-inch, you know, paddle tail jigs or something like that. Because a lot of times they get keyed in on smaller stuff, you know, especially in the summertime around here, redfish get keyed in. That's like the largest, or it's the biggest number of grass shrimp in our area. And those things are, you know, an inch long, if that. And sometimes redfish are so keyed in on those things that's, you know, if you're not in that same size range around what they're looking for, you know, they won't even look at anything else.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because pretty much 365 days out of the year, if I'm not fly fishing, I'm throwing some sort of small shad tail or paddle tail style bait, whether it's the DOA Cal baits or the Bass Assassin Blurps, which I'm a huge fan of, or even the Pogies. The Pogies are from Gulp aren't too bad. They're a little big, a little bulky, but, you know, a 3 or 4 inch bait is my, you know, go-to for whatever situation I'm fishing, as far as redfish and trout go, you know. And every now and again, I'll throw, if they're feeding on bigger finger mullet, I'll throw like a 5-inch or even a 6-inch jerk bait, like a Zoom or, again, Bass Assassin or something like that. But for the most part, those small baits, to me, for the area that I fish, because it's mainly, again, a foot and a half, 2 foot of water that we're fishing, is a great, like, all-around, all-year-round bait. Because, you know, it's not too big, it's not too small, it's like just right size where you can land a cast pretty close to a fish. Like, even in the Mosquito Lagoon, as highly pressured as it is, if you land a cast pretty close to the fish with, like, a 3-inch tattletail bait, not rigged on a jig head, I've gotten away from that, rigged on a, like, a 3-0 weedless hook, maybe with a 16th-ounce slide weight on it or just a pinch weight, like the DOA pinch weights, I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to spook those fish. You know, and it's still a heavy enough bait that if you're throwing, most of us are fishing Power Pro anymore or some sort of braid, if you're fishing 10-pound braid, you know, you can still fling the thing a mile.
Now, Mark, do you ever do any fly fishing?
I've delved in it a little bit, but I'm so used to throwing 8 ounces with a heaver that I want to almost I can't get the smooth motion. I try to horse it too much, so that's my major problem. I mean, I can do a bowling knot on a fly line, like no one's business, but, you know, that's not the whole idea.
Well, it's definitely a different ball game. You know, you got to practice. If you don't, you know, it's like a golf swing. You know, you can't just expect to, you know, be any good at golf if you don't, you know, practice, you know, go to the driving range once in a while and, you know, stuff like that. So, I remember, I mean, when it was all I did was fly fish, if I wasn't out fly fishing, I was practicing, man. And, if, you know, that's out in the backyard or out in the front yard with, used to use old tires, you know, and you just, you know, put them out there, you know, 50 feet away and try to, you know, cast on top of it. And it does help you, you know. Not only does it help your muscle memory, but also it helps your, you know, your strength and your conditioning. And, you know, one arm looks like Popeye and the other one just looks like, you know, normal. you know, I don't know. It's definitely something that you got to practice if you want to do it. But it's a lot of fun, and you just got to be patient with it, and you just got to relax when you're doing it. When you're not thinking about it, you know, or when you're thinking about it too hard, is when it's, you know, it feels like the fly line weighs 100 pounds. And I mean, trust me, I know I have those days, and I'm just like, look, got to relax, man. If you don't relax, you know, you're just going to, it's going to be a lot of work all day long. Now, you know, Redfish Chuck's been tying a lot of flies lately, man. Every day on Facebook, I'm seeing these, I'm on the fly bench and all these pictures and stuff. So what do you got going on there, Chuck?
I'm actually trying a couple of new things. I don't do a lot of shrimp patterns because I'm kind of like, I don't know, I don't have any patience really. I got the attention span of a gnat. So if it's anything much harder than a Clouser minnow or like a simple put together a crab pattern with EP, you know, pre-made bodies and stuff, I used to not even mess with it, but now I got a really good buddy of mine that works at our local fly shop here, and he's kind of shown me the ways of the Jedi, if you will, on how to tie some really, really cool patterns. I'm going to post a bunch of pictures up here shortly once I get some more flies done, but like tonight I was working on a crab pattern that I'd never tried before, and it came out pretty good. I'm not, you know, too pleased with it, but I'm sure something will eat it. The bait fish patterns too is something that I've wanted to do a lot of, and I'm starting to do more of that, like the polar fiber minnows and that kind of thing. So, you know, to me, I mean, the other thing is I build all my own fishing rods. So everything that I fish with, I've built. And, you know, once you kind of, not necessarily master, but once you kind of, you know, get that feather in your cap, you're looking for the next thing to do. And for me, it was a natural swing over to the fly tying, you know, and it's really relaxing. I mean, it really is. And I'm kind of a high strung kind of dude, you know. I mean, I just, like I said, I don't have the attention span that most folks would need to tie flies, but when I sit down and I start tying, it's just, you know, you just kind of forget about everything else that's going on, and you're so focused on creating something that a fish is going to eat. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll tell you something else too. Sorry, real quick.
No, go ahead.
I have. I'm very, very fortunate also, or my people in my area are very fortunate, and I don't think that they take advantage of it enough. We have literally a fly fishing legend that lives right here in our town, and that's Flip Pallet. And
If
you're not familiar with Flip Pallet, he is probably one of the most entertaining writers / TV hosts of fishing shows, in my opinion, that's ever been on television.
Yeah,
Walker's Cape Chronicles for me was like, I mean, that's like going to church. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, he puts on fly casting lessons at our local fly shop. And, I mean, you want to talk about learning, like really learning how to throw a fly? If that guy can't teach you, then you need to just cut your arms off and forget about it.
Yeah, that guy is a legend, man. Not only is he an author and, you know, fishing shows and he's a really good fly tier too, and
he's amazing. Yep.
You know, when Aaron Adams in his book Fly Tier's Guide to Saltwater Prey, he has Flip Pallet actually, you know, tie some flies for his book in there, you know, and he had the recipe and how to do it and everything, and it's you know, one thing that Aaron, I can say about Aaron Adams and all the ties or the flies that he ties, they're all simple, you know, and easy to tie, and you can tie them fast. So definitely check that book out, man. Fisherman's
Coast. I actually
got
it on board, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a great book, man. You know, another thing, there was this website, and they've recently changed, but it's called FishBuzz TV. And if you haven't, you know, I don't know if they're going to put any of their videos back up, but they used to have just a ton of fly tie-in videos, and they were all easy. And you know, because I look at it like this: if I can tie it, it's easy. you know, if it doesn't look like just like a wad of hair with like a hook hanging off of it, then it's good, man. You can do it. But there's a fly on there that they one of the guys from Bill Jackson's, he's a local guy, and I can't remember his name to save my life right now. He tied this one, and it's called a crystal shrimp. And you could probably find it somewhere, probably on YouTube or something like that. But this thing, it's a great shrimp pattern, man, and it's really easy to do. And you can do it with, you know, bead chain eyes or nylon eyes or anything like that. So definitely, you look into that stuff. There's another guy, too, that's a great fly tyer that does videos all the time, and he has, like, a ton of them. And I really like his style of tying because he kind of does a little bit of a different take on your classics like your Deceivers and your Clousers and your, Seducers and stuff like that. So, that's Captain Matt Wirt, W-I-R-T, and he spends half his year, he's in Carolina, I can't think of the name, something Beach, Carolina, and he's a fly fishing guide up there, and then he spends winter times down here at Pine Island in Matt Lachey, so you definitely checked out that guy's videos, man. His fly tie-in videos are awesome.
Yeah, I'll tell you something for guys that are thinking about it, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but the gentleman that was just talking about not being able to throw a fly, for guys like that, I really think that, you know, it's a sport that a lot of guys get turned off by really quick because it can be quite an investment to get into. I mean, you look at a typical, you know, decent fly outfit. I mean, me and you both know you can get a Fluger and it'll do the job, no problem. But most people are looking at the Nautiluses and the T-Bores and that kind of thing. And it's easy to get kind of overwhelmed when you're looking at $1,000 for an 8-weight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you go in and you do it right, you can get a good combo for around 150, which is what most of us will spend on a spinning outfit, if not just the reel most of the time. And go out, and if you've got little schoolie trout anywhere, you know, get yourself in a position where you can throw to where those schoolie trout are at with a clouser, maybe with a little bit of a weighted line so you can get down a little bit and just break the ice with that. But once you catch your first fish, a decent fish on fly, you're hooked, you're done. And, I think that the filming of fly fishing is so cool. And a great website for you guys to check out and jot it down because it's well worth the look is worldangling.com, I believe is what it is.
I love those guys, man. They're
yeah,
just
all those
awesome.
Guys do is fly fish. Yeah, they don't even know what a spinner rod is. So, I mean, they're sponsored by Hell's Bay, and they put together some killer videos. And, I mean, if your heart doesn't get racing by watching what those guys have put together fly fishing-wise, I don't know what's wrong with you. But, just to wrap up, because I got to run, I got a baby to feed. But
no problem.
Yeah, in my area. Go ahead.
What do you got going on for the new year? I mean, you got anything planned for the all of 2011? You going anywhere? You know, where are you fishing at? Just at home or?
No, I'm going to try and make a couple of little road trips. I think I'm going to try and head up towards Georgia, the Carolinas a little bit. One of my brothers lives in North Carolina, in Wilmington or just outside of Wilmington, so he's in a pretty good area for kayak fishing. But I plan on fishing the East Coast division of the IFA Kayak Tour and, some of the other local events and things like that. Just trying to be the best dad and husband I can be.
That's all you can do, man. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Chuck. And we'll see you next week, man. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, buddy. You guys have a very safe New Year, and we'll talk to you next year.
You too, sir.
See ya.
All right, man, Redfish Chuck from Mosquito Lagoon. And I don't have his website handy, and if I go looking for it, my Skype is going to bog down because my computer can only do one thing at a time. So, Mark, man, I tell you, man, getting on the fly fishing is – I love fly fishing, but my problem is – I really suck at it when I'm fishing out of a kayak. You know, if I'm sitting down in my kayak, it's really hard for me to fly fish, you know, because you know, you got all that line sitting in your lap, and you know, it's going to get hooked up on your, you know, I'm telling you, man, a true story, you know, hook a fish, and it's wrapped around, just barely wrapped around, you know, the buckle on my sandal, and there goes my sandal, you know, when the fish started running. So, I mean, you know, it's it's not a lot of room for you, you know, so if you're standing up, fine, but.
I've done it for bass.
Yeah.
And that's where, I've delved into it a little bit, and I've done it topwater, throwing little plugs and poppers for, like in a frog color, frog shape, and like a dead minnow, dying minnow kind of situation. And I found that for me, once I got all the line out that I needed to, I didn't have anything stripping line except for a few couple of inches, because I'd only strip it, five or six times for a total of like a foot and a half. But that's a nice thing about, that's why I like using the fly every so often, especially if I'm in like lily pads.
Oh, yeah.
What you can do is you see a spot that you want to hit, and granted, I've got to actually like maneuver the kayak, so I'm not willing to strip out some line and completely miss and screw it up. So I'll maneuver the kayak so I know I'm in range, and I'll sit there and I'll, try. Okay, it's in the spot. And I'll sit there and I'll pop. Nothing. I know the sucker's there. And I'll do it one more time. Lay right back in there. And then usually that's when they hit is the second time. And to be able to do that without having to drag it all the way through those lily pads is a really nice thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. I know it, man. Here we have, in freshwater, we have these, what I like to call the tabletop weed beds, where it'll, be a skinnier, portion of the weeds growing up, and then they grow along the surface out, and so you have like this big matted, like wad of weeds, What you do is, one of my favorite tactics is, that you got fish under that thing. So you put a frog or a lizard pattern or something like that, right? And you just twitch it on the top of the, it hits the top of the weed bed and kind of splats, And then you just kind of give it a little bit of a twitch to the edge. And then it falls off the edge of the tabletop. And usually on the way down, man, it gets hit, if there's a fish there. And 9 times out of 10, in a lot of the stuff that I fish, there's a fish there.
Yeah. Well,
so,
if you ever watched a frog on something like that, or a bait fish or anything like that, when they hit it and they skitter across the surface, use is, and I'm starting to really love it, is the Strike King Anaconda with the super long tail on it. It's a worm bait.
Is that the rage
and
tail?
It's got the rage tail on it. I'll take a 4-aught octopus hook, a 4-aught, extra wide gap, EWG, and hook it weightless and throw a little bit of air inside it with a worm blower.
Yeah.
Cast it out. As soon as it hits the water, I'll start cranking in as fast as I can, so that tail is just flopped on the surface, and that sucker's coming across like a buzzbait almost. It's weedless. It's on the surface, and they'll hit it even when it's the thickest mat, because underneath it is where they sit. Here comes this commotion. They don't know what it is. They come up and they hit it every time if they're there.
That's really cool.
It is. And it is one of those things where you'll be doing it, 10, 15 casts into it, and you're like, oh, they're not here. And you start looking for the next spot, and you're reeling, and you do something completely different. Either you slow down for a second, or you're going a little faster than you were, or you twitched it, and it'll set them off. And they just blow it up. It looks like a bowling ball being thrown into a toilet bowl. just boom.
That's awesome.
Set the hook, and now you got to drag them out of the weeds, but that's why I use braid. And yeah, it's a rush. That's how I caught my 12 pounder this year, was doing that.
Wow, largemouth?
Oh yeah.
Wow, that's a big fish.
Oh, it was a very big fish. I was shaking so bad I couldn't talk right, and it was just, it was 2 inches bigger than the one that I have on Gak Angler and on YouTube, my big 21 incher that I caught 2 years ago.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a big fish, man. Anything over, 8 to 10 pounds for a largemouth bass is a serious fish, man.
5 to 6 pounds is a big bass too.
Yeah.
And I know some guys that have never gotten above 5 pounds, and
they've gone out with me, and I'm like, all right, let's try this.
It's a different ball. I mean, that's a different. It's almost a different fish, you know. When the way that they fight, and you know, you're like, man, what do I got here? You know, and then you see it's a very large bass, you know, with their big eyes sticking out of the top of their head, you know, and that's like, wow.
Oh.
All right, dude, I gotta wrap it up here. We're getting to the end of our time here, so thank you so much for coming on, man. And I hope that Happy New Year. You know, be safe, and you know, wet some lines and take a kid fishing, man.
Definitely. Same to you. Everyone wear a PFD. Don't forget safety first.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, that's just wraps up another edition of Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm going to be on the 11 o'clock late show, so tune in if you're still up. And also, we'll be back here next Thursday with hopefully Chip will be back, and he'll be off the rack. And hopefully I didn't make a mess of the show too bad. So, and we'll talk to you guys later, man, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.